Looking for all your fantasy footy needs? Look no further. You're listening to the Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. Here's your host, Max Matthews.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the AFL Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. And in today's episode we have a lot to talk about after round two of our AFL Fantasy season. To start off today we have my team review and how I went. Followed up by some match reviews and some key player scores. We've got a couple break-evens to look at, captain options, and finally we'll finish off with some listener questions from Instagram. So my team this week was horrible yet again, so that's 2 weeks in a row. Scored 17.42, which put me back in overall ranking, so I'm down to 46,000 now. Quick plus three goes to Harry Sheezel for his 121. Was going to be my vice captain, but I switched that out for Nick Dacos, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. And negative three goes to Jai Newcomb after a pretty disappointing performance yet again for a second week in a row. So on the Thursday night, I decided to vice captain Nick Dacos, thinking that he would have a good game. As St Kilda is one of his favourite teams to score against and only scored 61. Had Harry Sheezel at my D2, so he scored pretty well. Lockie Whitfield, like a lot of other people, have 102. Hayden Young, I brought in Massimo D'Ambrosio after Jason Horne Francis was named out for Port Adelaide, so I kept Ollie Wines. He scored 96, so that's good for Massimo and his cash generation. Blake Howes was on my field, scored 78, and Charlie Dean didn't play. Zach Williams was on my bench as he was on his bye. Midfield, so I captained Bontempelli, like a lot of other people did. I think it was about 20% of coaches also captained him, and he only scored the 104. Had a little bit of an ankle injury late in the first quarter, but was still able to kick two goals and rack up 34 disposals. So nothing wrong with how he got his score, but he just needs to tackle and mark a little bit more. He was left alone by the opposition quite a bit, and I found it surprising that they didn't try to use Bontempelli a little bit more, as he did most of his work in stoppages. Connor Rosie, again, second week in a row, really good score, 116. It was either him or Bontempelli for my captain. And, yeah, I would have only lost about 25 points. So it wasn't too bad. But Connor Rosie looks like a very good fantasy scorer. Him and Zach Butters both combined really well on the weekend. Jai Newcomb, as I said before, my negative three for the week. 260 scores is just not going to cut it. He will definitely be going out for me this week after pretty bad performance. His role's there, it's just that his time on ground's really low right now for some reason, and the Hawthorn's mids are just getting dominated every single week. So I think with Will Day out, Hawthorn are struggling a little bit with their midfield, and even Cam McKenzie, who I traded out, ended up scoring an 80, but still left Jai Newcomb with a 60 somehow. So not too sure what's happened with Jai Newcomb after his 120 in the preseason, but obviously it's pretty disappointing for the 15% of coaches that had him last week. Nick Martin scored 103 off halfback, so yet again a pretty solid score. Scored 90 the week before and follows it up this week with a 103, so no concerns about him. He'll be like that for pretty much the whole season, I'd reckon. And we'll get defender stats in week six. Ollie Wines, as I mentioned before, I opted to not trade him out after Jason Horne-Francis was named as a late out for team selections on Friday night. Scored 88, and he came back with a 31-point last quarter. So he was looking pretty bad, and his time on ground is just really low, and I think I might be trading him out this week even though he hasn't got a bye. I feel like it's best for my team that I get someone in that will be able to do the job and has a pretty good role and won't be the third and fourth in CBA rotations. Riley Bonner. So a lot of people traded him in after a pretty good first week. So he had 102, I think, in the first week, and only got 61 this week. So definitely not what buyers would have wanted after what looked to be a really good role. He was in the back line quite a bit and didn't really see much of wing time. Players to spare behind ball, as I saw from watching the match. It's just that he spent a lot of his time on the bench, and he's a pretty good ball user, so I'm not sure why he spent so much time on the bench. So he had 78% time on ground, 17 disposals for a 61. Lacked some marks as well. So hopefully he can bounce back this week. But Jack Sinclair coming in did affect him a little bit, not too much. Jack Sinclair did play quite a bit of mid-time, and we'll talk about that match a little bit later. And I had Colby McCurch and Riley Sanders both getting respective 70-plus scores. And, yeah, we wouldn't be too worried about them. I had Matt Roberts on my bench, unfortunately, so he scored an 85 and rose up a ton in price. Would have been nice to have him on my field, but I just chose the wrong rookies. I brought in Jeremy Sharp instead of Ollie Dempsey this week, mainly because I think Jeremy Sharp will be a better scorer pretty consistently and will still make me money as well. I had Brody Grundy, Tristan Jerry. So Brody Grundy bounced back from his 50 score the week before with a 90 and looked pretty good. Him and McLean looks like a pretty good ruck duo. And Tristan Jerry was back to another 100-plus score, which is really good to see for owners that started him at the very beginning of the season. Harry Barnett scored 29, so that's a little bit disappointing, but it is good that he got some game time. We now know that he's going to be one of the backup rucks for West Coast throughout the season, so he might play a little bit more. His break-even is now 20 after a score of 29, so he won't rise up much in cash, but if he does get omitted, he'll be a nice loophole option. Isaac Heaney scored 117 yet again, probably up there in the Brownlow votes for a third straight week. And he just looks like a really good player when he's in the midfield. He's very dangerous up forward, no doubt about that. But in the midfield, it looks like that's where he plays his best footy. And with Taylor Adams coming back soon, as well as Luke Parker, maybe Callum Mills halfway through the season, we might see a little bit of effect in his time on ground and his midfield rotations. Zach Fisher, after a 60 score last week, he came back with an 85, so that's nice to see a response from him. I had Charlie Lazaro on my field with a 49. He got subbed out in the third quarter, so that is not ideal for my team. And his cash generation would be cut a little bit because of that as well. He now has a break-even of 19. So definitely something to consider maybe downgrading if you want, now that we know that he is a vest risk. So James Jordan, the next one, so he had 76. So he just looks like a guy that's going to get 75-plus scores every single week for us. No matter what his role is, and no matter how bad or how good he plays. And he's now up to 543K, so he's making money as well at the same time. Alex Sexton, he had a shocking game. He only scored the 49, so he wasn't marking the ball. He got in a fair few fights that I saw in the Western Bulldogs match, and he just didn't perform, so he needs to probably back up his performance with how it reflects for his AFL fantasy scores. Darcy Wilson and Seth Campbell both with 57s on my bench, as well as Jai Clark getting a 45. So trade Nick Caulfield out at the end of the last round, and he unfortunately did his shoulder, so it benefits me because he decrease in cash by 27K, but unfortunately I also traded out Cam McKenzie, who would have got me 20 more points if I went Newcomb out instead of him. But Massimo and Jeremy Sharp both performed well as my trade-ins. Now, for my VC and captaincy, so Nick Dacos, he didn't look very good in the match. St Kilda were running with different players on him for the whole game. So I was considering Harry Sheezel as my VC, but went to the worst option yet again. Ended up rolling to Bontempelli against West Coast instead of Connor Rosie against Richmond, and again chose the wrong choice. With two injuries earlier that game, Bontempelli had to play through the pain of his ankle injury. He also got treated on his knee as well at halftime, per Fox Footy reports. And I think it's in my best interest to get rid of Ollie Wines and Jai Newcomb both this week. Both don't play reasonably well most of the game, and they come up with some pretty average scores. So the person that I'm definitely going to be moving on this week, like I was thinking about last week, is definitely Matt Crouch. So he scored another 110-plus score. So definitely no role change. He's definitely going to get a whole lot of the ball. And I am not going to think twice about this, as he's the only guy under 800K with a top 15 average. So I'm also going to go with Tom Powell or Jordan Clark from Frio as potential ins for Ollie Wines. So I can do that via DPP, as Jai Clark is on my utility spot, so he can be moved into the midfield. Swap him for Matt Roberts or Jeremy Sharp and bring in whoever I want. So Tom Powell, we'll talk about him a little bit later when we see the top trade ins and trade outs. But he's definitely up there for quite a few coaches. But now we'll just go through the matches and we'll talk through some of the best fantasy scores from the weekend. So St Kilda and Collingwood. So St Kilda ended up winning this by 15 points, and Nozia Wanganeen-Miller was definitely the best player on the ground from my point of view. So he had 32 disposals and 11 marks for a score of 122. His owners will be very happy with how he performs. So 13.5% of coaches have him right now. Break-even now has gone down to 83, and versus Essendon, which is another really good matchup for him this week. Jack Steele, yet again, he looked very nice. So 114, his average is now after posting a score of 120. Break-even gone down as well, so he's now a 91 break-even and is now priced at over 900K. Josh Dacos bounced back from a pretty ordinary start to his season, so he has 103. And then we go down to someone like Rowan Marshall, who started the game really well, but unfortunately faded a little bit for his owners late. Scored 86 from his 24 disposals and 13 hitouts. Darcy Cameron with 84. So he looks like a nice ruck option for mainly draft owners, but if he does get forward status due to him sharing the role with Mason Cox, it might be something worth to consider, since he is averaging 100 now after his two games. Does come up against Oscar McInerney, who we know is a pretty tough ruck to score against from last season's stats, but definitely someone to keep your eye on if he does get forward status. Jack Sinclair was back. He had 86% time on ground, and he had 21 touches and 7 marks, so not too bad. He only scored 79 though, so he will go down quite a fair bit in money, and definitely someone that you can pick up a little bit later in the season. And we go down to Riley Bonner and Nick Dacos, both scoring 61s, so both quite highly owned players. 17 disposals for Riley Bonner and 22 disposals for Nick Dacos. Both looked out of it for quite a bit of the match, which is a little bit concerning. Riley Bonner did get taken to the bench after he made a couple mistakes in a row, so obviously Ross Lyon wasn't too happy with that. And Nick Dacos has been copying it from the media, saying that he wasn't getting his head over the ball and he wasn't picking it up cleanly, and they're trying to say that he's better off half-back, which he might be. He does score quite well wherever he plays, but unfortunately it just wasn't the case in this match. Darcy Wilson, 57, so he had 12 touches and 6 marks on the wing. Good thing is that he only played a low time on ground this week. So you might be asking why that's good, just mainly because he does score quite well when he's actually on the ground. And I think his time on ground was quite low this week for some reason. Yeah, it was 11% lower than what he had against Geelong the week before that. So maybe it was just something to do with the Collingwood matchup that St Kilda weren't really sure about with Darcy. But I also saw him float half back a little bit as well. And Finlay McRae was sub yet again. So he scored 18 from, 25% time on ground. So not someone to consider right now. But once he cracks that first team, he might be someone to consider if he does score well. On to the Friday night match. And Geelong defeated the Adelaide Crows by 19 points. But the main scorer was not a Geelong player. It was Jordan Dawson. So after an 89 in the first week, we see him get 131 back at the Adelaide Oval. And it wasn't his marks that got him to it. It was actually his tackles in the midfield. So he had 26 disposals and 12 tackles, which I think is a new personal best for him. And definitely someone that will still have a pretty high break even, but definitely someone to consider. If you don't own him, he is owned by 18% of the competition, and those 18% did get rewarded on the weekend. People that started with Tom Stewart and Matt Crouch both got rewarded with 110 plus scores. Tom Stewart obviously had one of his best games of his 150 game career on the weekend. He had, I think it was 10 intercept marks, and Crows probably should have limited that a little bit more, but unfortunately that wasn't the case, and he dominated off the back line for Geelong. Matt Crouch, 37 disposals, just back to his ball winning best. Only had 74% time on ground, but if that rises, his score will rise as well. So definitely someone to have a look at if you don't have him already. Obviously, as I said before, he'll most likely be coming into my team against Fremantle this week. Roy Ladd, 105. So really good from Rory after another pretty good game in the first round against Gold Coast. Still in the 70s for time on ground, like Matt Crouch, but he had 29 disposals and 7 tackles. So pretty nice from Rory Laird. And as well, if you don't have him, he might be someone to consider. He's only 6.5% owned, which is pretty unique. People like Max Holmes, I was considering. He only scored the 81, so I'm kind of happy I didn't go there. But he did have 24 disposals and 5 marks in the back line. He also ran through the middle as well. And someone to keep your eye out because he is low 700Ks. And if Geelong start winning games, it's mainly because Max Holmes is having a pretty good game. Because normally when his numbers are up, they're controlling the ball quite well and also winning. So definitely someone to keep your eye on as a trade target maybe later in the season. I'll definitely have my eye on him in the next few rounds. Isaac Rankin, 72 from his 16 disposals and 2 goals. So he obviously didn't score as well as what a few people would have wanted, but he is 8% owned, so quite a few people do have him. And it's mainly because of the lack of forward options at the start of the season, but definitely someone that could go well as a top 10 forward possibly if he starts scoring well and maybe gets more exposure in the midfield. Jai Clark, 69% time on ground, so really low for the rookie, so 13 disposals from that time, 3 tackles and 2 marks. He will be making cash. It's just going to be pretty slow since he does score a little bit slower compared to other rookies that you might have on your benches. But that's all right. As long as he's playing and as long as he's making cash, it's fine to have him on your bench. First game on Saturday was North Melbourne versus the Frio Dockers. Quite fantasy relevant game. with Caleb Sarong going over 120 as well as Harry Sheasel. So a lot of people went with Caleb Sarong knowing that he might rise in cash yet again, and he did. 35K he went up, now doubled his ownership from what it was at the beginning of the season. So he's now up to 12% owned and had 35 disposals, 4 marks, 6 tackles, and 2 behind, so it could have been even bigger. But yeah, another good game from him, and it hurts not to have him in Classic. Harry Sheasel, 121, so as I said before, 35 disposals, 6 marks, and 4 tackles, really good game. Tom Powell, now a lot of people are going to go to Tom Powell this week, breaking him of 25 and scored 113. Now it has an average of 95 points, and I think he's in the top 10 highest ranked players in the competition, according to Champion Data. So that's really nice to see. His time on ground went up by 9% this week. So obviously the North coaching staff have identified that he is a good ball user, and he will be part of that midfield in the future. So Luke Jackson and Tristan Jerry both over 100. So whether you have both in Classic, it's going to be pretty nice for your score to see Luke Jackson in the full line scoring 108 and Tristan Jerry scoring 104 in your ruck spots. Bailey Scott, 102, more draft relevant, but does score well on his days. Jordan Clark with 2 high 90 scores in 2 weeks, so he had 28 disposals and 7 marks off halfback. Someone that I'm looking at this week, mainly because I might be getting rid of Nick Dacos in a couple of weeks' time if his break-even starts going up quite a bit and losing me quite a bit of money. George Wardlaw had his best game, so he is the rising star for round 2, if you don't know. He scored 98 from his 23 touches, 6 marks, 4 tackles, and 1 goal. So really well-rounded game from him, but won't score this every week. If you do have George Wardlaw, though, you obviously got rewarded from holding him after last week's score of 66. LDU, 96, so he hasn't cracked a ton yet this season, but did have 30 disposals and 5 marks. Just didn't tackle very much. So as soon as he adds that to his game, I'm pretty sure he'll score well for a lot of people that have him. Andy Brayshaw scored 91, so saw him on a wing a little bit, but not too much. Him and Sarong in the midfield just hurts a lot of opposition. 27 disposals and 3 marks, 3 tackles. So a really good game from him, even though his score might not reflect that. Zane Dersma, so if you had him since the start of the season, like 48% of people do, he's going to go up quite a bit. So he had 15 disposals and 11 marks, which is the nice thing. As a forward, it's sometimes a little bit hard to find marks, but Zane was able to find them with ease on the weekend. Zach Fisher, Colby McKercher off halfback for North Melbourne, both scored 85 points and 76 points respectively. Hayden Young, Jeremy Sharp. Hayden Young had some lowish time on ground this week, only scored 21 points, didn't tackle as well as he did in round 1. And that resulted in a 75-point score. Jeremy Sharp on the wing only had the 13 disposals, but did have 8 marks, which helped his score quite a bit and will make quite a bit of money to start off this season. Nat Fyfe got subbed, so that was more tactical. He was having back concerns going into that match, but apparently it has been resolved by the Freo staff. So then we've got Jai Simpkin in draft. He scored 56 from his 14 disposals. Charlie Lazaro obviously got subbed. So he only scored 49 from his 13 disposals, 3 marks and 2 tackles. Toby Pink, if you had him, scored 49. So a slow burner when it comes to cash generation, but 48% do own him. So definitely someone that you could maybe go to if you are just looking for a guy that's going to play for most weeks. But that's about it for that match. We go over to Hawthorn and Melbourne. So James Sicily bounced back Was on, I think it was about 60 at quarter time, something ridiculous like that. He ended up with 27 disposals, 13 marks, one tackle. So that was pretty good for owners that held him. I know a lot of people jumped off him mainly because of his price and how much he was going to go down. Still went down by 31K, but 116 does look pretty good on paper. So Christian Petrarca, second top scorer with a 109 and Max Horn with 107. Christian Salem also scored 105, so maybe you have a couple of those players. Obviously, Max Scorn does hurt a lot of people who didn't start with him, like myself, who has scored 130 and 107 in the first two games. Christian Salem junked it up big time, scoring 61 points in the last quarter, mainly because the amount of marks that was being kept in their back line against Hawthorn. They didn't really try that hard when the game started slipping away from them. Massimo D'Ambrosio, 96 points. So for people that did jump on him, they he rewarded you quite well. Went up 52K and will provide some further cash generation with a break-even of 19. Trent Rivers, more draft relevant, but he had his 17 disposals and 8 marks with 5 tackles. So not a bad game from him. Carl Amon, if you have him to start the season off, not really what you wanted for the first two games, 80 and 81 against some pretty easy opposition fantasy-wise, and he isn't really making you money. He's just staying at his 80 average score, and he isn't really budging in price. So he isn't up to 100 break-even for the 2.3% of coaches that have him. Blake Howes, another respectable score from a rookie and definitely someone that you can field in the bye round. So he had 16 disposals, 6 marks, 4 tackles for a score of 78. So that's really good. Went up 71K, which is one of the most for this round. And will continue to do so with a negative 13 break-even against Port Adelaide this week. Cam McKenzie, I hope quite a few people jumped off him. But he did score 74, so not too bad from Cam McKenzie after a pretty good first half. Jack Billings, if you want him, he went up 32K, a popular trade-in target from last week, so he had 20 disposals and only the 4 marks. But he's not going to get you 15 marks every single week like he did in round 1. Jai Newcomb, now below 10% owned, so that's mainly because of trade. Trade outs this week, so he scored 68, only got 17 disposals, most of them handballs, 4 marks, 4 tackles. So, yeah, nothing really good there, and I'd be jumping off as soon as you can. Jack Viney, so a few people jumped on him after a pretty nice round 0 score. He had 81% time on ground and only scored 60, which is a little bit concerning for owners, I'd say after his 29 round price change, so he's going to go down in money, so you might want to go down to someone like Matt Crouch, who's 100k cheaper. He'll score you about the same most weeks. Caleb Windsor with a 60 as well, went up 35k, 16 disposals and 6 marks, and then you haven't really got much after that. Marty Hoare, maybe, with 42% time on ground. He was obviously the sub and came on for Stephen May, who fractured his ribs. And Marty Hoare scored 33, so not too bad. Went up 12K, breaking of 31 for next week. Sydney Essendon. So Tom Papley was the top scorer, so mainly draft relevant, but 24 disposals, 10 marks, 4 goals, 1 behind. A really good game for him. Zach Merritt, for the second week in a row, he goes over 120. So if you did start with him, very well done to you. He is he's gone up in percent ownership. So he's now up to 9.8%. But he had 32 disposals, 6 tackles, 2 marks, and 2 goals to go along with that. So really nice game from Zach Merritt. You'd be happy as an owner. Earl Golden, so he bounced back after a pretty ordinary first opening round game of 69, but he's come back with a 111 and 117 in those weeks. Isaac Heaney, yet again, really good score, as I mentioned in my team review. So he's now got an average of 121 after scoring 121, 125, 117 in first three rounds. Has some really good matchups of Richmond and West Coast in the next 2 weeks before of his early bye. So he'll definitely generate some more cash while scoring well for our teams. Might need to consider trading him at the bye, depending on when their players come back, but we'll see over the next few weeks. Chad Warner, 108, so is now over 860K. He just looks like a really easy one-goal game, 25 disposals each game. So he's someone to consider for your teams after the early bye. A little bit of a unique pick as well. Nick Munn, highly owned, 31 disposals, 4 marks, 2 tackles. Off halfback and just looks like a really solid starting pick for most teams. Brody Grundy and Matt Roberts, so 90 and 85 for those two. Both had really respectable games from what I saw. Brody Grundy with 30 hit-outs against Sam Draper and Todd Goldstein. So definitely something positive coming out of the Darcy Cameron and Mason Cox display that he had last week. James Jordan scored 76 again, so 80% time on ground, 18 disposals and 4 tackles. Not too bad. As I said before, he's a 75-plus score for most weeks. And Archie Perkins, if you went with him after his very nice round 1 display against Hawthorn, he only scored you 65, but still went up quite a bit. So he went up 26K. And will continue to do so in the coming rounds. Sardis, 85% time on ground, so nice time on ground, but unfortunately didn't score too well. Is 9% owned also for some coaches' forward lines. So unfortunately that's not really working out so far this season, but hopefully he has an 80-plus score in him in the coming rounds. And that's about it. For that game, moving on to Bulldogs Suns. So Tim English, Took Miller, Marcus Bontempelli and Matt Rowell all scored over 100 and all had pretty similar games, just really dominant in their respective positions. Took Miller looks like a guy that you can trade in after his early bye, so he obviously has it this week and had 3 disposals and 10 tackles. So I'd be jumping on sooner rather than later. He's going to go up in price, has a break-even of 98, and I can see him averaging 105-plus for the rest of the season. Tim English, well, he's going to be a must-have later in the season, and he has West Coast this week. So if you're part of the 27% that own him, you'll be very happy with his 2 scores leading into the round against West Coast, who really don't have a proper ruckman. Marcus Bontempelli, talked about him earlier. Matt Rowell, someone that you can also target coming off his bye, so very similarly priced to Took Miller. He had 25 touches, 4 marks, 8 tackles, and he's just a contested ball. So he'll score you probably 90s plus every single week. This might be the year that he averages 100. He's averaging 110 right now, so definitely someone that you can keep your eye on. Is still priced under 900K. Bailey Dale, good for draft owners, not so well. You probably don't have him in Classic because of the amount of defenders that are on offer. If you're in the 1% that do own him, you'll be pretty happy after coming off a 77 score the week before. Noah Anderson, I thought he was going to go ballistic after a really good first quarter, but had 25 touches and 4 tackles in the end, so dropped off a little bit, but 96 is still pretty good. Then you've got Sam Flanders, someone to talk about. So coming off his bye in a week's time, I'd be probably jumping on as soon as possible. So 26 disposals, even though he played mostly forward from what I saw, wasn't in many CBAs, but definitely worked up onto the ball a little bit more. He kicked a goal as well, so someone that you probably need to have in your team after the bye, mainly just as a restructure and to have a solid F1 and maybe F2 if you have Jackson or Heaney as well. Riley Sanders, so didn't get subbed this week, thank God. So 22 disposals and 5 tackles for Riley, and will be a nice rookie pick for us this season. Connor Budrick, if you held him through that 25-point game last week, so he had 18 disposals and 6 marks, scored 61 and went down in price. So I'd be jumping off him now anyway. Harvey Gallagher, if you jumped on Harvey, he had a pretty decent game, 56 from a 75% time on ground. And Alex Sexton, we talked about earlier, but he did not have a very good game at all. Nick Caulfield as well, talked about earlier, doing his shoulder pretty much means that everyone will need to jump off him. Now I could see that being 2 to 3 weeks, maybe, possibly even more, depending on how bad that shoulder is. Richmond versus Port Adelaide. So Port ran away with this one in the end by 30 points. And their three midfielders, Zach Butters, Connor Rosie and Willem Drew, were the top three scorers for the game. So 117, 116, 109. Connor Rosie, Zach Butters, if you have both of them, you'll be really happy with how they've performed over the first 2 weeks of the fantasy season. And Willem Drew looks like more of a draft-relevant player, but definitely someone that is performing really well. Kane Farrell, also more draft, but he is putting up some really nice fantasy scores so far this season. Tim Taranto, 96, so went down 37K, still has a break-in of 133, but if he gets back to those 100-plus scores, he'll be pretty cheap for us when it comes to later in the year. Dan Houston scored 94, so pretty good. Has Melbourne this week's ownership of 7.4 as well. Ollie Wine, so 88, touched on him a little bit earlier as well. Jaden Short, 77, so not the best start for Jaden in terms of fantasy scores. And when it counted after round one, he hasn't been able to perform as well as what coaches would have liked. So if you're part of the 3% that own him, that's a little bit concerning for you and could possibly trade him out at his buy. Seth Campbell, 57 from 8% time on ground. He looked pretty good from what I saw. I saw him on like getting the ball quite a bit, but unfortunately he just didn't get the ball quite enough. Still went up 45K, so nothing wrong with that. Breaking of two coming into his matchup against Sydney Swans, which might be a bit tougher. So maybe just keep him on your bench this week, as I don't see him scoring well and possibly could get cut from your top 18 scores for the round. And that's about it for that game. West Coast versus Giants. So last game of the round. The Giants ran away with this pretty easy. So 65 points ended up being the margin. And yet again, top of the fantasy list was Tom Green, 84% time on ground, 34 disposals, 3 marks, 6 tackles, and just a ball magnet. Really annoyed that I didn't end up starting him after the start he's had, and will definitely need to be someone that a lot of people need to bring in if they don't have him already. Tom Green himself is ranked 75 overall for fantasy, if you do not know that. It came out on afl.com.au today, and really good. So he might be in Brownlow form, he might be chasing that car as well. But if you don't own him, that's someone that you need to get in very, very soon, just to minimise the amount of points that you're going to be conceding every single week, but he now has an average of 127. So someone that needs to be in your team by the end of the season, But hopefully a little bit earlier than that. Kieran Briggs, 111, so against Harry Barnett, Bailey Williams, people like that. He scored very well, so he had 21 disposals and 34 hitouts. Might even steal some Brownlow votes off Tom Green. They'll definitely be the top two when it comes to Brownlow voting, but it's going to be interesting to see who takes the three votes out of that game. Liam Duggan, 105, more draft relevant, but nice to see him back to how he scored last year. Jeremy McGovern, so he marked quite a few intercepts as well. So he had 26 disposals and 7 marks as a fullback. The ball was down there quite a bit, so it's not too hard seeing how he got those points. Lockie Whitfield, 102. Josh Kelly, 101. Harvey Thomas, 100. All scored very well. Harvey Thomas obviously will be a training target for next week coming off his bye because he now has a break-even of negative 23. So that's someone that needs to be coming into our teams just to maximise some cash generation. Elliot Yeo, for quite a few owners, he now has a break-even of 60, so he's going to go up in price quite a bit now. Ownership of 40 after a score of 98, so 27 disposals and 8 tackles for him on the weekend. Simon Cornelio, 96. I just hope one of these Giants boys gets forward status soon so we can hop on them and hopefully they can be a bit of a fantasy scorer for our forward lines. Tim Kelly might even get forward status at this point. He's been spending quite a bit of time forward, letting some of the younger boys run through the midfield. Had 22 disposals, 4 marks, 5 tackles and 1 goal. So might be someone to look at if he does get forward status, but I'm not too sure how that's going to go. Going down to maybe Harry Himmelberg. I know a few people started with him, but he scored 75. So obviously not as well as what he did last year for us, but someone that might need to come out of your team since he has his bye this week. Harley Reid, really good start. I think he was on about 25 points at quarter time, but faded and only got 21 points for the rest of the match. 17 disposals and 4 tackles is what he had for his main fantasy points. So a little bit concerning for time on ground, but it was flagged by Adam Simpson at the start of the year that could possibly happen. Nevertheless, he is making money quite easily for us, breaking of 18 and against the Bulldogs, which is quite a friendly matchup, I would say. So he could score well this week. Harry Barnett, touched on him earlier, but it's nice to see him getting some game time. Now, I'll go through the most traded in and traded out players, mainly to give you guys a perspective of what some of the top coaches are going to do this round. So if you don't have Massimo D'Ambrosio, Tom Powell, those are guys that have almost hit 10K traded in already. So it's only Tuesday and 10K coaches are both trading them in. So if you haven't got them, definitely some people to consider. Matt Crouch is third with 4.2K coaches jumping on him. So that's almost 6K difference. So obviously Massimo and Tom Powell are going to be favourites to come into quite a few teams this week. Caleb Sarong, people jumping on Isaac Heaney, even though he's got his early bye coming up. And Isaiah Wanganeh-Miller, after his really good 122, is coming in for 2.7%, 2.7K coaches this week. Toby Pink, 2.6K. Tristan Sherry, Zane Dersmer, and Jeremy Sharp all coming in as well for quite a few teams that maybe miss them. Jeremy Sharp is obviously going to be one of the main cash generators after his 76 this week, so not a surprise. He does have LA Crows this week, so it might be a pretty easy game for him if Fremantle start running away with the win in that. Harry Sheasel. So obviously some coaches that didn't have him will be jumping on him. Ari Schoenmaker, so he had, I think it was something like 37 disposals in the VFL for St Kilda on the weekend, and we'll definitely be getting a game sometime soon. It's just going to be when will be the main consideration for quite a few coaches. Hopefully it is this week, so you can go down from like Nick Caulfield all the way down to him, maybe get some cash and go up to some of the other high primos. Luke Jackson, 1.4K coaches are jumping on him against Riley O'Brien this week, so a little bit tougher of a matchup for Rucks especially. But could still score well with the amount of tall defenders that are now out for the Crows. If he goes down forward, Blake Howes, so he's obviously scored really well to start off his AFL career, and a lot of coaches are going to jump on him. And then you've got guys like Harvey Gallagher and Ollie Dempsey coming in for quite a few coaches as well. So trading out, so 16K coaches are trading out Sexton, which is a lot of people. So he's gone down from about 50% ownership to 40% in the first 2 days of trades. So someone that you can definitely consider trading out. I'm not personally, because I've got some other issues like Jai Newcomb and Ollie Wines that I want to get fixed up. But something that you can definitely consider going down to Ollie Dempsey, maybe going up to Tom Powell, like a lot of people will be doing this week. Just some very vanilla trade moves. Nick Caulfield, you can go down to Ari Schoenmaker, like I just said, or you can go up to Massimo. Either way, you're going to get either some money or some more points for what Nick Caulfield is going to produce after his shoulder. Jai Newcomb, 5.3K coaches are trading out him. Hayden Young, 3.4. And Lockie Whitfield, surprisingly, 2.9. Definitely someone that you can trade out to maximise the amount of money that you have after your buys. But someone that you can definitely get some quick cash on and upgrade quite a few spots if you need that. Tom Green, 2.3K coaches are jumping off him. So I'd be assuming they're going to someone like Caleb Sarong as like a straight swap, just to maximise the amount of points that they're going to get throughout these bye rounds. Sam Flanders, Brody Grundy, Zach Reed and Nick Dacos are the other people getting traded out quite a bit now. So quite a few primos in there that are surprisingly getting traded out. Some people are not so surprising with the likes of Alex Sexton and Nick Caulfield. So next I'm going to go through some questions. I'll go to break evens first to help out some coaches that might be trying to work out who are the lowest break evens and maybe some of the people that have the highest break evens as well. So top 10 are Harvey Thomas with a break-even of negative 23, Blake Howes negative 13, Matt Roberts negative 7. Chris Burgess, after his 68 last round, has a negative 6 break-even, negative 5 for Colby McKercher, Harvey Gallagher, Aaron Cadman, Riley Sanders, Jeremy Sharp, Zane Dersmer, Ollie Dempsey, all within negative 3 points of each other. So Seth Campbell, Darcy Wilson and Charlie Dean are all in the all under 5 points for their break even as well. Some of the higher break evens, so someone like Roel Marshall, 144, Nick Dacos, 143. That's probably why so many coaches are going to jump off him before his early buy, mainly because of the cash generation that they want to get in at the start of the season. Marcus Bontempelli, 142 against Eagles, he might put up some pretty big score, so I wouldn't be trading him out just yet. Clayne Oliver, 139, so nice to see him going down in price for fantasy coaches who might want to jump on him a little bit later in the season. And then you've got guys like Tim English, Jack Viney, Tim Taranto, and Andy Brayshaw, all between 131 and 135 break-even. So captain options going into this week, So I'd be looking at maybe not Nick Daicos for the Thursday night match, but someone like a Harry Sheasel maybe as a VC on the Friday night against Carlton. Roy Led, Jordan Dawson maybe Friday night as well. Or Zach Merritt against St Kilda could be good. But obviously they have got Marcus Winhager who might go onto him. I'm not too sure. Connor Rosie, Max Gorn as well against Ivan Soldo. Marcus Bontempelli, Tim English against West Coast, really nice. Errol Goulden, if you've got Errol against Richmond, should be a nice game for him as well. And I wouldn't consider anyone from the Hawthorn Geelong game, I don't reckon. Now we will get into some Instagram questions that I received throughout the week. So first one is from Jai. So he has asked, do you think Collingwood are going to bounce back or are they going to be bad for the whole year? Obviously, a team coming off a premiership won't be bad for the whole year. Obviously, an 0-3 start is not what they wanted to start the season off. And do versus Brisbane Lions, who are the other premiership contenders, and obviously they matched up in the grand final last year. So whoever comes out of this will either be 0-3 or 0-4. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens on that Thursday night game. But I'd be saying that Collingwood will end up bouncing back. James has asked, is it too late to bring in Sarong, even though it's such a big upgrade, such as Bonner to Sarong? So obviously you need about 400k to go Bonner up to Sarong. I'm not too sure who you're getting rid of in that scenario, but obviously if you can get Bonner up to Sarong, definitely going to be more beneficial, probably going to score you more points for the rest of the season. And Sarong will probably be top 8, top 10 mid anyway, so will definitely be someone that you need to get in your team when it comes to later in the season. If you can do it now, it's probably even better for you, since he doesn't have an early buy and has the best buy being the round 13 buy in the middle of the season. He's also asked, is Daicos a go or no? So obviously just went through the most traded out people, and Nick Daicos was mentioned in that. So mainly because of his high break even, you definitely can trade him out. It's just who you want to trade him to. I'd be looking at maybe you want to go down to Tom Stewart against Hawthorn this week. You can also go to Wanganeen Miller after his 122. He'll make you money as well as score you some points as well. Obviously, he's not going to get as much attention as Nick Daicos will. Someone that maybe flies under the radar a little bit will be how you want to go. If he's in your midfield, then I'd probably go all the way up to someone top dollar. So someone like Sarong, Zach Merritt. You can also go someone like Jordan Dawson. I'd be focusing on getting in one of those players who will be top 8, top 10 midfielder when it comes to the very pointy end of the season. So if you do go Daicos out, I'm advising probably hold him one more week. I know he's got Brisbane, and because he's got Hawthorn his week before his bye, so that's going to be a really good game unless Finn McGuinness does go to him. Like was flagged in the preseason by quite a few fantasy coaches. So it just depends on how you think he's going to score in the next two games leading up to his bye. But I can see a way that you would want to trade him out after what has been a pretty up and down start to the season for him. Scott has asked, what do we do if we have two or more premium players on the bye this week? So I'd assume that you're talking about someone like Tom Green, Lockie Whitfield, and those types of guys. I'd probably hold Tom Green. I know that a lot of coaches might be considering jumping off him mainly because of his price tag and want to go to someone like a Sarong, which is pretty much a straight swap, but for 1 week, you'll have Sarong, and then the next week Tom Green might come out and score another 120 score. Again, he has got Gold Coast, St Kilda, Carlton, the three games after, so very fantasy-friendly games for him leading after his bye. Someone like Lockie Whitfield you can cut out of your team. Obviously, Gold Coast Suns will be a pretty easy matchup as a defender, but we know what Lockie Whitfield has done to a lot of fantasy teams in the past. And can definitely be someone that you can get rid of. Someone like Sam Flanders is top of the line, maybe F1, F2. So I wouldn't be trading out Sam Flanders. He might be at a price where you think that you can get rid of him for 1 week and get him the next week. But I'd advise not doing that because it kind of wastes a trade as well. He's also asked, is Sexton's time up? A lot of fantasy coaches are saying yes. I would be agreeing with them. Obviously, I'm not trading him out because I've got some other issues to deal with. But you can go down to someone like an Ollie Dempsey. If you didn't get him last week, maybe a Zane Dersma if you don't have him. Or you can go up to someone like a Tom Powell as well, who's 110K. Dearer than Alex Sexton, so definitely someone that you can get rid of. He's also asked, if you're tight for cash, do downgrade this week and spend up on Tom Green next week? Yes, if you don't have Tom Green, you can save up some money this week. So whether that's going Sexton all the way down to a rookie, or maybe you want to go with a defender on their buy all the way down to Ari Schoenmaker, something like that, that's going to save you some money, can definitely be beneficial for next week with so many premiums coming off their buy. And Hugo Woods asked, what's the best way to get into AFL Fantasy if you don't necessarily watch it? So a little bit of a difficult question to answer, but obviously as an AFL fan, you're going to be aware of how quite a few players play and what their scores have been in previous seasons. If you aren't really an AFL fan, it's kind of hard to work out who's a good fantasy scorer, who's not. And obviously, if you haven't started up yet for this season, you won't be able to get into anything unless it's draft. Maybe draft hasn't been cut off yet. I'm not too sure about that. But I'd advise just watch a couple matches, see who you like, who impresses you the most, and maybe you just start off as a fantasy coach and just doing it for fun, rather than just being someone that's serious about their overall ranking, and maybe get a little bit more serious in the years to come after you get that first season out of the way. That's all I've got for the podcast today, so I hope you enjoyed it. It's almost gone for an hour yet again, so it's really nice having a lot of questions to answer this week. Please go follow me on AFL Fantasy Footy Fever podcast on Instagram. I send out a story every single weekend asking for questions for the upcoming podcast, like I did today. So you can always hit me up on Instagram, also Gmail, AFL Fantasy Footy Fever podcast at gmail.com, and I'll see you guys next week. Hopefully I go up in ranking rather than backwards this week after what's been a pretty bad start for me, and hopefully all of you guys are going well as well. So look after your trades, think through your early buys, and take on some advice that I've mentioned today. And I look forward to talking about how my team went next week. So see you later, and everyone have a good round.